Jose Day on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah.
It's not Tuesday.
I am excited to play Jose on Tuesday.
Yes.
Mike McClure and Heath Cummings here with me, Chris Towers, on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast. And Jose Altuve is one Jose you could play. You could also play Jose Ramirez, Jose Bautista, Jose Abreu.
Jose Bautista is not available.
He's on the disabled. I mean, you could play him.
It would be a bad idea.
Sure. You could play Tommy Joseph. He's got a Jose in his name. It's right there. But you should probably play Jose Fernandez going up against the Atlanta Braves. Top pitcher of the day?
Nope.
Wow!
Man.
Okay, yeah, probably.
Mike is costing him money. I'm flattered, actually, that your desire to troll me outweighs your desire to play the clear number one pitcher on the slate.
The real question of the day is, what pitcher is Mike going to bring to the table that I didn't like when this show started,
that
I'm going to listen to him, and he's going to get scratched for a unreported m'lady?
Steven Strasburg, it's fair to say, screwed some people over last night.
Yeah, indeed. The day after the Astros did.
Did you guys see, do you know what his ownership was in tournaments last night?
15%.
Yep. That's a lot. And I would assume that both of you had more than 15% exposure to him?
I did, yes. I had 25%.
So that worked out okay. Steven Strasburg was scratched.
We call that overweight.
Probably 45 minutes after lineup lock last night, maybe a little longer.
Not sure. About an hour or so after.
Yeah, that 10 o'clock start time did not help. Hopefully nobody gets a late scratch tonight, because there are some good pitchers on the slate tonight, boys.
Oh, it's the type of night where, like, sometimes I'm looking for four pitchers to play in tournaments. Tonight, I'm narrowing it down to four.
Well, why don't you tell us? We'll skip the usual.
What? But Chris?
Repartee.
What do you mean?
And I want to hear.
Here's the thing, Chris.
Your narrowed down top four pitchers of the night. Heath, please give me your top four.
Well, first thing I did was I looked at the slate, and I noticed that there are four pitchers that are $10,000 and above.
Yep.
And so I ranked those pitchers.
Sure.
Because I wanted to know which of the expensive pitchers I wanted to use.
Glad I get to host and direct the show. And
Jose Fernandez is number one for me.
I think he's the clear number one tonight.
And I don't think I want to use the other three pitchers above $10,000, at least not in a high percentage of my lineups. Johnny Cueto, $11,000 against the Pirates on the road.
Yeah.
I don't love that, even though
Pittsburgh's not a bad place to pitch, but it's still probably a negative park shift for him.
The Pirates are using a made-up person as a starting pitcher, so he has that going for him.
Okay.
Noah Syndergaard
against... Is that Wilfredo Boscan?
Sure. Cousin of Chesler Cuthbert. And then Thor, $10,900, is going up against the Royals.
I mean,
I'm not saying that Thor is going to get hit by a fastball tonight, but it's possible. I'm going to avoid that. Chris Sale is going up against the best lineup in baseball that just got shut down by Miguel Gonzalez. So my second favorite pitcher is actually Corey Kluber against the Tampa Bay Rays.
$9,700.
Yep. Everybody hates him.
The infuriating Corey Kluber.
And then my third favorite pitcher is Aaron Nola.
Okay.
$9,000 going up against the Twins. Had a very rough go of the month of June so far.
Yeah.
But you look at it, and he scored 8 fantasy points at the Washington Nationals.
Yep.
They're really good.
Yep.
He scored 6 fantasy points against the Blue Jays at home.
Yep.
They are even better. Tonight he gets the Twins.
Yeah.
It's time to breathe a sigh of relief, Aaron Nola. Everything's going to be okay. And then my fourth favorite pitcher will be whoever Mike talks me into.
Mike.
So my favorite pitcher is Corey Kluber. I like him a little more than Jose in terms of, you know, factoring in the salary.
Not in cash games.
Yes.
No, not in cash games. Yeah, You're not playing Corey Kluber in cash games. I don't care if it's against the Rays.
Oh, I absolutely will be.
That's...
After that, yeah, like I said, it's Kluber, Jose Fernandez, Aaron Nola.
Here we go, Mike.
Who's... Marco Estrada.
What?
Yes.
This is going to work out really well for you because I cannot abide.
Okay, good. Marco Estrada. I like Marco Estrada quite a bit.
Even more now?
I don't know if I'd say
Before we move on, I think it's worth talking about Corey Kluber. He does have what should be a pretty good matchup against the Tampa Bay Rays. I feel like he's played against them this season.
He has. 32 fantasy points back on April 12th. Well. It went very well, and then Jose Ramirez ruined everything.
Okay.
And that's made the biggest problem with Corey Kluber is he pitches in front of the Bad News Bears.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that is the biggest problem with Corey Kluber. I think the biggest problem with Corey Kluber is that for an ace, for a guy that consistently pitches deep into games,
he gives up a lot more hits than he should.
Well, also, he's just not very good deep into games. The third time through the order, he's got really bad struggles. A lot of the times what you'll see with Corey Kluber is he cruises through six innings and then...
But the main problem when you look at his peripherals is he gives up too many base hits. Not home runs, just base hits.
I think it's... He doesn't pitch to his peripherals.
Okay.
But this is a consistent...
defense could be a reason for that.
Sure, but this is a consistent thing throughout his career with the exception of the 1 year when he was the best pitcher in baseball.
Right.
The problem is that we're looking at, 4 out of 5 full seasons now. I think one of them was 130 innings, and then this season where he's at 80. Where he's been, I think, a half run or more in ERA than his FIP.
I don't think a half run is a big deal. That's within the range of normal outcomes.
Right. But when you're talking about 4 out of 5 years and a career overall, I think it's fair to say that he's not a pitcher who's as good as his peripherals indicate. And the big problem with him is he's bad when runners get on base. He is one of those pitchers. We've talked about this in the office, that there are certain pitchers that just pitch significantly worse out of the stretch, and he is one of them. And that's been a consistent trend throughout his career.
I still like him tonight in cash games.
Wow.
I think he's a great tournament play. I have trouble trusting him. I just think the most Corey Kluber thing possible is that he'll give you 4 great starts in a row and then 2 just absolutely abysmal ones. And it makes it really hard for me to trust him. I tend to think he's a guy that when things are going really well, they tend to stay going really well, and then if things start to go off the rails, you look at 627 OPS allowed with the bases empty, 748 with runners on base, 793 with runners in scoring position over his career.
And at least 20% of that's BABIP related.
Sure, but it's also we're talking about 1,200 plate appearances with runners on base. It's not exactly a small sample size where we can just say, when the BABIP corrects
itself. So the question is, why is the Indians' defense worse when there's runners on base?
I don't think it's just the Indians' defense.
Well, I don't think it's just that, but he strikes out 9.9 with the bases empty and 9.3 with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. That's not enough to make that big a difference.
Well, his control is worse.
He does walk more batters. He's too fine.
No, I think that's probably just he doesn't command his pitches as well out of the stretch.
I don't think you like Corey Kluber.
Not true at all.
Sounds personal.
Not true at all. His strikeout rate's also a decent bit worse in terms of strikeout percentage. He's just, this is a real thing, and that's why I think he can't be a cash game play.
I mean, a decent bit worse. We're talking 26.5 to 24.7.
Sure.
That's really almost statistically insignificant.
No, that's a 10% jump.
Like a 6% jump. It's less than 2% difference.
Okay.
Okay. We've gone too far down this Corey Kluber wormhole.
Okay, look, that's fine. I think he's too high variance to play in cash, but that's fine.
Okay.
But it is a good matchup. I think he's a really good tournament play tonight, as with pretty much every time he's on the mound.
Yes. Yeah. I like Jose more than Kluber. I wasn't trying to argue that I didn't. I think Corey Kluber gets too much blame for his defensive feelings.
Okay. Maybe.
Okay.
Jose Fernandez, he's averaging, I think, 57.8 fantasy points per game over his last 6-7 starts. Basically, that start against Milwaukee on May 9th was pretty much when things clicked, and he's been ridiculously dominant since then. And it's a really good matchup against Atlanta. Tell us about Marco Estrada.
Marco Estrada. Well, the Blue Jays should have a pretty high win probability at home against a lefty. So I like that quite a bit for him. He's been really good this year. Strada's wOBA allowed to lefties, 264. wOBA to righties is 231. Those numbers are pretty good.
I feel pretty confident in saying he is the anti-Corey Kluber, in that I feel confident in him significantly outperforming his peripherals, because the peripherals at this point don't really account for the fact that he consistently induces extremely weak contact. And a big part of that is that there was a really good Jonah Carey piece about this maybe a month and a half ago on CBSSports.com about his really high spin rate and the fact that he's really good at inducing infield fly balls, which tends to mitigate the fact that he's an extreme fly ball pitcher.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's always a better play than I think your average fan might think.
Yeah, he reminds me quite a bit of Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
And I thought Dallas Keuchel for about a year and a half was just really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I finally fully bought into Dallas Keuchel, and then this year it's looked like he was just really lucky. The only thing I don't know, like, I agree completely with your assessment that Marco Estrada has been exceptionally good at preventing hard contact and keeping a low BABIP. I don't know that that's sustainable year over year, but he's trying to do it 3 years in a row now.
Well, I don't think it's sustainable year over year in terms of what, like 188 where he's sitting right now. That's not sustainable.
216 last year.
Right, 257 like, the year before, 262 the year before.
Like, I think 260, okay. That's sustainable year over year. But with his strikeout rate, if he's at 260...
He's at 253 for his career, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I think 260 is sustainable year over year.
Okay.
He's not a pitcher you want to use very often if he's giving up a 260 BABIP. He's not good enough at the other things.
Okay. That's fine. But it's a decent matchup, decent win probability.
I like the win probability more than I like the matchup versus the Arizona hitters, for sure.
Okay.
But, I think the best thing I can do for Mike's sake is just say I'm not going to play Marco Estrada tonight.
Are there any other pitchers you guys will be looking to play tonight?
I'm going to pick one other player, and I haven't decided who it's going to be yet. I think there's a chance that Blake Snell could be a really good play at 7,400 against the Indians. Especially like playing your Kluber lineup just with Snell and a couple better bats.
Okay.
You're not going to like this one at all, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. I don't hate the idea of Hector Santiago.
I don't have a problem with it. Not in a cash game.
Oh no, there's no way. I mean, I'm pretty much playing Jose in cash.
Yeah.
But Santiago, every once in a while, will have one of those 40, 50, 60-point performances.
Yeah.
And he's just as likely to have a negative two.
Yeah.
But he was good in his last start. The Astros have the ability to just look stupid against bad pitchers.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that game, Colin McHugh could kind of be the same type of situation.
I actually, in season-long leagues, I think Colin McHugh is a really nice buy-low guy. He just got dropped in one of my leagues, and that reminds me I need to go add him. Because I do think he's pitching a lot better than he is pitching, if that makes sense.
Nope.
I think he's a better pitcher than the results have indicated so far this season.
Okay.
And it's a good matchup against the Angels. I know they don't strike out much, but, you know, other than that, I think it's a pretty good matchup. They're unlikely to hurt him too badly. Are there any other pitchers you guys are interested in?
Don't laugh, but I have to say it because I do think the win probability, again, is very high, so it's worth a look in a tournament. Colby Lewis.
Can I laugh now?
You can laugh.
There's quite a debate raging on Twitter right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Between our good friends, a couple of friends of the program, I think, or at least one of them, Ricky Sanders.
Yeah.
Trying to convince people that there's two arguments.
Yeah.
There's Colby Lewis sucks.
Yeah.
There's Colby Lewis has been good. Those two arguments are not mutually exclusive.
Yep.
Colby Lewis can be a bad pitcher that has pitched really well.
Yeah.
But the question was posed, over under 4.00 ERA for Colby Lewis, rest of season starting right now. What do you want, over or under?
I think you have to take the over.
Yes. Mike, you would take the over, wouldn't you?
I would take the over, but it does not mean I don't like him tonight.
He's a career 4.65 ERA pitcher. He had a 4.66 ERA last year and a 5.18 the year before. So
he's hashtag not good.
I think that's probably the correct.
But he has been spectacular this year. Maybe he keeps it going for one more.
The Reds are not good against right-handed pitching.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it is weird, but they're not. I think their WOBA against righties is 287.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And if you look at like home and away splits, they, you know, against all pitching, they're only 292 on the road.
Yeah.
They're not good.
One thing that really befuddled me was when I looked at the implied run totals for tonight and saw that the Rangers had the highest implied run total. I don't think Anthony Desclafani is like Luis Perdomo bad.
No, I don't think
he's bad. Even Chad Bettis bad.
I don't think he's bad. I think he's pretty. I think he's kind of like the platonic ideal of a league average major league pitcher. Like, I think every peripheral for him is league average.
I think he can struggle with lefties at times, and many of Texas' best players are lefties. But I think the most underrated thing here, which kind of goes against me liking Colby Lewis, is the fact that the weather is going to be 95 degrees in Texas tonight.
Okay.
The ball flies further in hot weather.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, you just said okay. I thought maybe we should explain it.
We explained it yesterday. Are there any other pitchers you guys want to mention? If not, there is at least one I want to mention.
Go for it.
James Paxton at 7,500. I know Detroit's probably a pretty good offense. No, J.D. Martinez makes them a little worse. His replacement is likely. Do we think Steven Moya will start against the lefty?
No. Well, it depends. Is Maben healthy or not?
I don't know.
Yeah. If Maben's healthy, I think Maben starts.
Maben should start.
Okay. So you've got... Yeah, I don't think that really makes a big difference. Cameron Maben's not particularly good. James Paxton is 7,500. He's got 36, 40, and 45 fantasy points in his last three. He had 23 in 3 2/3 innings. I think the strikeout rate is mostly real, mostly because he's throwing 99 miles an hour. He's got a pretty good cutter that he's been using so far this season that he hadn't used in the past. I think he's a different pitcher than he has been at any point in his career, and I think that makes him an appealing fantasy option at 7,500 if you want to go cheap a pitcher on a night when most people are probably going to spend up.
Yeah.
We also haven't. I think we said the name Chris Sale once against Boston. That just makes him unplayable against that offense.
For me, it does. Yeah, I don't have any interest in Chris Sale tonight.
Pitching to contact against this offense only works if your name is Miguel Gonzalez.
We also didn't mention Justin Verlander against Seattle. Any interest in him?
Nope.
I have slightly more interest in him than I do in
Paxton.
Paxton.
Agreed.
On this side of the game. But I like Detroit. I think Detroit wins this game.
Okay.
So for that reason, I think Verlander's an okay play, but I definitely prefer Corey Kluber for only 500 more.
Yeah. All right. What is your favorite stack, Mike?
The Rangers.
Well,
I mean,
I want to like go back and see, because I feel like the Rangers are by far your most picked favorite stack beyond like Boston.
Oh yeah, it's like Giancarlo.
Yeah.
And I would like to see what their success rate has been.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
we're gonna say this is a snake draft, and I'm taking the next two picks because I think there's two teams that are better than the Rangers.
Well, let's talk about the Rangers first before we move on. They're going against Anthony Desclafani, like you said. The weather, is in their favor. So you're playing Rougned Odor, Adrian Beltre, Mitch Moreland, Nomar Mazara.
You got to choose between Profar and Odor.
That's true.
I actually probably in my lineup that I'm going to give, I don't have either one.
Okay,
because it is Jose Day, like you said.
Gotta find. You gotta scrimp and save.
But I do like Mazara quite a bit. I like Chu.
Chinsu Chu.
Yes, I like him a lot tonight. I do like Prince Fielder. I know it's tough to do, but I do like Prince Fielder tonight. He's 2,300 on FanDuel.
It doesn't matter how much it costs. I tend to not want corpses in my lineup.
I used to say that about Giancarlo.
Oof. Come on.
Oof.
Come on. Heath.
Yes.
Take your next two picks.
I will take the Blue Jays going up against Patrick Corbin at home.
Yeah.
And the Orioles going up against Luis Perdomo. Yes, that's a name. You know what?
Perdomo.
What?
Perdomo.
Perdomo. Perdomo. He is the second Luis Perdomo in Major League Baseball history.
Huh. I've never met a Luis Perdomo in my life.
I've never met a Perdomo.
I think I've met a Perdomo.
Yeah, I haven't.
But I grew up in South Florida.
Right. It's probably more common to have the last name Perdomo down here
than Kansas City.
He has been awful this year against lefties, against righties on the home, at home, on the road. And I think their only game with serious weather concerns is this game.
Okay.
If it plays, the Orioles will probably be my favorite stack just because they're a little bit cheaper. And I feel like I can get away with playing one super cheap Oriole against Perdomo and probably still get some production. On the Blue Jays side,
would you be thinking?
Probably Ryan Flaherty.
Ryan Flaherty. J.J. Hardy is 2,500.
It's possible. J.J. Hardy could be a thing that you would do.
Pedro Alvarez is 2,900.
Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo are the two definites.
Yeah.
Maybe depending on which pitcher you use, maybe Adam Jones, and then go from there.
Yeah, Jones is up to 3,900, so that makes him a little tougher to justify.
The Blue Jays, on the other hand, I mean, you have to play Donalds. First off, I don't think you want to play Ezekiel Carrera, who's probably going to lead off.
Okay.
Or Michael Saunders, because the one thing Patrick Corbin's been good at over his short stint in the majors is getting lefties out.
Okay.
So you're probably looking at a right-handed stack, which definitely includes Donaldson and Encarnacion, which kind of kills your hope of playing four Blue Jays, because they're like 8,900 between the two of them.
Also might kill your hope of playing Jose.
Well, no, I'm saying if you play Jose with those two. You can play those two and Jose. If Darwin Barney gets the start, I think you'd have to get him in the lineup if you're playing the Blue Jays stack. And then one of Russell Martin or Tulo.
Tulo's 3,000. Russell Martin's 3,100. Well, since we did this snake draft thing, Mike, why don't you give us one more stack that you like?
All right. He gave all of my top four or five. We've covered them all there. But one that we haven't mentioned is the Colorado Rockies.
Okay. The Rockies going against Ivan Nova at Yankee Stadium. They just hit 5 solo home runs last night.
Yep.
It was a good showing for them. That was actually a kind of nuts game.
It was a record.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 solo home runs, 8 runs scored in that game. That was an MLB record. So which Rockies do you like against Ivan Nova?
Honestly, all of them. Nova does have reverse splits.
Okay.
He's got a wOBA allowed of 368 to right-handed batters, 308 to lefties. I do expect long-term those numbers to kind of neutralize more than that. So I really like, you know, all of the Rockies here. I love Nolan Arenado.
I think Story.
I like Story.
2,800.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard not to play him.
Yep. So, yeah. Trevor Story versus Tulowitzki is really tough tonight at shortstop.
Right.
Really tough decision there. But yeah, I like
I
said.
Hot take to just say Trevor Story is a better player than Tulowitzki at this point?
Yeah, it's too hot takey.
Okay.
He's more powerful than Tulo.
Yeah.
Tulo's hitting 222 since he got to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, but he's been better since he came off a disabled list. He's fixed. He was just hurt.
Yep.
The one we didn't mention is the Marlins. So I guess we're waiting for Chris to mention that one.
Yeah, I think so.
I would never play the Marlins.
I think the Marlins are my favorite cheap stack.
Yeah. Bud Norris is hashtag bad. I think it's pretty easy.
I would say he's the second worst pitcher on the slate. I think nobody besides Luis Perdomo is worse than Bud Norris on the slate.
At least proven worse.
Right.
There's some guys, you know, there's a lot of potential for bad pitching.
I guess Wilfredo.
Yeah. But Bud Norris, in terms of just proven track record,
yeah,
real impressive guy.
Justin Bour and Derek Dietrich,
yeah,
definitely in the equation.
3,000 for Bour, 3,100 for Dietrich. Stanton's still only 3,100. Even Ozuna and Yelich are only 3,600. This is a pretty cheap stack.
It's a custom-made stack.
If you choose to go that way.
Which three Marlins would you play with Jose?
We'll see that later.
Okay, good.
But it's Bour, Dietrich, and Stanton. Just getting those three guys for 6,200 against a bad right-handed pitcher seems like it should work out okay for me. Heath.
Yes.
Hit me with some BVP.
Oh, would you like some BVP?
I always want BVP.
Okay, well, I have some BVP. I also have a BVP pitcher.
Yes.
So I knew you would like that. And it is none other than Chris Sale, the guy that we just said we're not going to play. The Red Sox have 67 plate appearances against Chris Sale. They got a .246 average with a .628 OPS. Clay Buchholz.
That was back when Chris Sale was good, though.
Clay Buchholz actually has the best BVP numbers.
Oh, wow.
Of all starting pitchers, but then I would have had like 5,000. I literally built the BVP lineup with Clay Buchholz, and I think I had $4,000 left over.
And also you had Clay Buchholz in your lineup. He might be the worst pitcher of the night.
How do you feel about Clay Buchholz being favored over Chris Sale tonight? Chris Sale is an underdog in this game.
I think Buchholz might be kind of good tonight.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, the line is moving now. It's basically a coin flip, but Chris Sale...
I know Boston's offense is a lot better, but yeah, no.
Yeah, Chris Sale's technically the underdog in this game.
At catcher, we've got Beef Wellington Castillo. I was a little worried against a righty he might not start, but since they're in an AL park, I'd assume he'll DH.
Yep.
So against Marco Estrada, he is 7 for 23 with 4 dongs.
Wow.
So definitely in the lineup. James Loney will be playing first base. This turns into kind of a two-team stack.
Okay.
James Loney of the Mets against Ian Kennedy is one of those, 6 of 17 with 5 extra base hits against Ian Kennedy. At second base, we're going with Neil Walker. He's 9 for 21 with 3 dongs against Ian Kennedy. And then the other Met is Curtis Granderson, who's 5 for 12 with a dong against Ian Kennedy.
Okay.
And then the other side is we got a couple of Cardinals. Jahani Peralta, who seems to be a BVP All-Star against everyone. 9 of 23 with 4 extra base hits against Jason Hamill. And Matt Holliday, 5 of 16 with 3 extra base hits against Hamill. Also, Yachty is 7 for 16 with 4 extra base hits if you wanted to play him over Castillo, if for some reason Castillo's not in the lineup. At shortstop, we've got Xander Bogaerts. Bogaerts is 5 of 10 off of Chris Sale with a dong. And then the last outfield position goes to Andrew McCutchen. 68 plate appearances against Johnny Cueto. He's 290, 371, 581 in his career with 4 dongs against Cueto. So that is Sale, Castillo, Loney, Walker, Peralta, Bogaerts, Granderson, Holliday, McCutchen. I feel like I don't know if this is a good lineup, but this is at least a good BVP lineup.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Like, you need Chris Sale to pitch well and the Mets and Cardinals to win.
It's not crazy.
No.
Not at all.
Guys.
Yeah.
I donged again.
You did.
You've 5 got some... in 7 days. It's been a wonderful run for me. And I got a Giancarlo monster dong, which is just all I could have hoped for. I had to go away from him for a week, but I'm back, and he treated me so well in his return to my dong chasers pick. So well, in fact, that I'm going back to the well. $3,100 Giancarlo Stanton, one day after he was a $3,200 dong.
Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you.
That's 5 in 7 days.
5 in 7 days. Heath has never had 5 in 7 days.
Yes. We have 2 different picks from the listeners.
Okay.
Because we have 1 listener pick and 1 special guest pick.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Our good friend Mike Kaiser.
Oh, okay.
With the guest pick today.
Show producer Mike Kaiser.
I got a message from him this morning. An A-bomb from A-Rod is a lock tonight. Stone cold lock.
I hit enter.
Okay. A-bomb from A-Rod. And then I think we're going to go back. I believe this person has already got to pick this week.
Okay.
But Chris Greenwood is going for a dong train. And he's going to take Andrew McCutchen, looking for his 3rd in a row to give him a dong train.
That's quite a heat check with the way Kutch has been playing lately.
Yes. But he is, and against Johnny Cueto.
Yeah.
But.
We got a BVP believer.
We do have a BVP believer, and I will be pulling for you. I just won't be playing Andrew McCutchen.
Mike, you're up.
I am. Give me Josh Donaldson.
Sorry I took Stanton from you.
No, it's fine. Josh Donaldson, 4,500.
Whew. Spending that money.
Hey, I got a cheap one yesterday with Adam Lind, so I'm fine.
Yeah,
Heath, you went expensive yesterday, and it did not work out for you.
This would make a full week with no dong, right?
No, you last donged on Thursday of last week.
Oh, okay.
You had a Harper dong on Thursday.
Okay, so I've got a couple of days before I have to sweat. You know what? I'm going Chris Davis, 4,200 against Luis Perdomo.
Okay.
Going out on a limb.
Love it.
It's a pretty good pick.
Thank you.
It's expensive, but
I like to pick a lot.
You're the cheapest overall for the season.
I don't like to pay for my dongs.
We bullied you into going cheap after the first few days, and I think you've overcorrected.
Yeah.
So you're at 35.24, Mike's at 36.13, and I'm all the way up at 37.01. But I'm making up ground, and that's all I care about. I'm closer to Heath than Heath is to Mike now. And let's keep it that way. We'll shorten that lead even more tonight. Who has a Jose lineup?
I thought you did. That would be you.
Well, then I'll give my lineup first. Jose Fernandez, $12,000. I'm going Victor Martinez at catcher, Justin Bour, Derek Dietrich, Pedro Alvarez, Trevor Story, Giancarlo Stanton, Nomar Mazara, and Jake Smolinski.
We actually did get a tweet saying that one of our listeners wanted to pick Jake Smolinski for Dong Chaser tonight.
Jake Smolinski's a pretty good hitter.
Is he?
Dude's got like a 760 career OPS and like 400 plate appearances, and that's what he did in the minors. Jake Smolinski's not a bad player.
Okay.
Marlins let him get away.
Yeah.
Heath.
Yeah.
What's your lineup look like?
I'm struggling, to be honest with you.
It's a good sign.
Mike's going to help me finish my lineup.
Let's do it.
Because this happens sometimes where you get that perfect lineup and you just need one more spot.
It happens to lots of players.
I've got Aaron Nola as my starting pitcher.
Okay.
Excellent tournament play tonight with the way that everybody's going to be off of him because of recent performance. James McCann at catcher.
Okay.
In a good matchup against gas can James Paxton. Chris Davis, Derek Dietrich, Josh Donaldson, Trevor Story, Hyunsu Kim, Mark Trumbo, and I don't
so
know
a bit
who
of
to
an
go
Oriole,
with.
Oriole stack there.
What?
Oriole stack there.
Yes, it is
three fourths of an Oriole
three
stack.
Orioles in there. I don't know who to go with for my 2,600 and under outfielder.
Okay.
Is Yasiel Puig coming off the disabled list?
I believe he is expected to return from the disabled list tonight.
If Puig is in the lineup, he is in my lineup. Against Tanner Roark.
He is $2,400 going against Tanner Roark. I'm fairly certain he is expected to come off the DL.
If he's in the lineup, he's in my lineup.
Okay.
All right.
Mike, let's hear your lineup.
Corey Kluber, James McCann, Prince Fielder, Jose Altuve, Josh Donaldson, Trevor Story, Nomar Mazara, Hyunsu Kim, and Mark Trumbo.
People call Corey Kluber the Klubot,
the
right? That's his nickname. It's a bad nickname.
Why?
He's automatic.
Because Klubot implies a level of mechanical efficiency that I just don't think he embodies.
He used to.
No, I think he does. His defense is bad.
Yeah.
That's probably it. It's just the defense. That's going to do it for us. We're going to catch some dongs, win some money. And we'll see you back here on Wednesday. Have a nice night, boys.